This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You're now in the Central Zone, where we seek to be informative, inspirational, enlightening, and dynamic. But more importantly, we seek to be fair and balanced. There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our collective, our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The essentials, serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation. This week's show is brought to you as usual by Cash & Go, OWN Foundation, Carib Auto Care, Pepper & Spice Restaurant up there in Palmdale, Jumbe Cafe, recently opened over in Village Road, Hubert Edwards Global, that's my Facebook page, we do some writing there, we ask you to check that out. If you find anything there, if you find it inspirational, then we ask you to give it a like and to tell a friend to tell a friend. And finally, it's brought to you also by Balu's Jerk, the number one, the undisputed, second to none, best jerk in all of the Bahamas. I dare the individual who's going to dispute that. But if there ever was such a moment, we'll have a taste off. And so this evening, we have a very, very, very exciting show. We have a very exciting guest here. But first of all, let's hear from our co-host as usual, Rodney.
Hey, what's up? It's a little gloomy outside, but I'm sure the people in here is about to be very bright, very enlightening. But it's always a pleasure to be here, Hubert and Kenny, and looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, man. Kenny.
Likewise here. Looking forward to the conversation, despite the weather. I guess it'd make it the ideal time to just curl up by the radio now and listen.
Well, you know, the rain don't fall in the essentials. It fall on the essentials. For those of you who may have had any connection with the army, rain never falls in the army, it falls on the army. And we are all soldiers here, so we move on.
There you go.
We have a big man in the house today. But before we introduce him, we are going to ask you to continue to play your part in educating the young people. If you are persons who are under your stewardship, ensure that they participate fully in the educational process, because usually if they don't, they get pushed to the periphery, and then they become a challenge to society. We also ask you to consider the Cancer Society in your giving. They are seeking to expand their facilities. They're raising funds. So we ask you to continue to check them out. Crime, are you a part of the problem or are you a part of the solution? Do you run the red light? And when you do you have a propensity or a desire to bribe the police? Don't do that. Because when you tolerate the small ones, they eventually lead to the big one. We also ask you to consider the lead Institute. Troy Edward Clark, the first down there, is doing a fantastic job. Recently, they got robbed. Persons broke into the facilities that they're building, and so they all need your help. You can find Troy on Facebook. He's very popular there. So check him out. Consider how you can contribute to that. And we also want to ask you to play your part in cleaning up the environment. I see a number of the constituencies led by the various member parliaments, they're doing some work in that regard. We want to give a big shout out to Ed Fields, who was a recent guest on the show, and Konkale, I hope I get the pronunciation right, who is through social media and other means pushing this old idea of cleaning up the Bahamas. It's necessary, it's needed, because when the environment isn't clean, it impacts some of our most significant earnings. And so we ask you to give a contemplation to that. We're going to have a fantastic show. We're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to get right into it with a man who many of you know, But I'm going to pose this question to you. Do you really know him? Is this the guy you think you know? This afternoon, we are going to have that conversation. You listen to The Essentials. Come right back.
They can't keep a good man down. Always keep a smile when they want me to frown. Keep the vibes and I stood my ground. They will never ever take my crown. Oh, damn bless, I say no man curse. Things getting better when they thought it would be worse. Here comes the officers asking for a search. They found no weapon, just only a draw first. But I'm so sad it does a rough. They just can't stop me.
Back, then it's time to speak fearlessly. The only public speaking coaching program that gives you the confidence to face your fears, find your voice, and free your power. Become the dynamic, fearless speaker you've always wanted to be. Register for Speak Fearlessly today. Call 429-6770. That's 429-6770 or email coaching242@yahoo.com.
Imagine a restaurant that offers Bahamian cuisine with a distinctive island flavor. Imagine down-home crab soup, steelfish, crab and rice, baked crabs, and island lemonade that will electrify your taste buds. Imagine a relaxed atmosphere with the feel of real island culture where you can enjoy everything that is uniquely Bahamian. Imagine the remarkable Jumbe Cafe at the Village Road Shopping Center, Village and Burnett Road. Welcome to Jumbe Cafe. Come taste the rhythm.
For the best jerk in the Bahamas, you must have Balu's. Pork, fish, and chicken served with our delicious country-style sauce and authentic festivals. Balu's, Nassau East South. Call or WhatsApp 376-8951. Balu's, the jerk with the soul of reggae and the spirit of Junkanoo. Balu's jerk, traditional, slow-cooked to perfection. 376-8951. Get yours today.
Want to be an entrepreneur? Always wanted to start your own business but didn't have the capital to fund it? Join us Thursday, March 5th at the British Colonial Hilton, 8 p.m. in the Windsor Room. Sponsored by Island Lux Isle Cares Foundation. Own Bahamas, empowering Bahamians through ownership. I want to own a part of my Bahamas. How about you?
Cash & Go is beating the heat this summer. Spend $50 or more to be entered to win $18,000 in cash and prizes. Cash & Go is giving away $1,500 in Cash & Go bucks, a 24,000 BTU ductless unit, and the grand prize of an ATV four-wheeler bike. All you have to do is pay all of your utility bills, purchase airline tickets, pay BAF premiums, or send funds with MoneyGram, and you're in. Visit any one of our 14 locations today and get entered to win.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to The Essentials as we listen to the smooth vocals of Bob Marley. Don't worry about a thing, because right now in studio we have with us a man who many sees in the Bahamas. He's well known, some may even say popular. But in many regard, he's a very low-keyed individual. It took us a mighty, mighty, mighty long time to get him here in the seat. But this evening, our job, or our intention, is to tell the story of the other side of the one, the only, Duane A. Davis. Welcome to The Essentials.
Hey man, thanks. It's good to be here.
Duane, as we look around the Bahamas every day, we see young people, not so young people, old people, persons who are given of themselves, given their time, their energy. And it's from that perspective that we want to look at you this afternoon. So let me start by posing the first question, because it's always good when you hear from the horse's mouth. Not that I'm calling you a horse.
Yeah, no problem.
Who exactly is Duane A. Davis.
You know, I often tell people I'm just an East Street boy who work hard to, I guess, to achieve certain things in life. You know, I'm the son of Shirley Davis, the grandson of Alan Claudius Hannah, you know, AKA AC Hannah. But I'm that guy who just basically like to do certain things. You know, hard work over the years has paid off for me, personally, professionally. I do a lot of community work. Mm-hmm. A lot of the persons don't know about because I don't do things to brag or to show that I'm doing something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I remember many, many, many years ago, I saw a very wealthy, popular, what we call white Bahamian, in a particular place. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing here? He's like, well, you know, I'm here every week. And I donate a lot of money to keep it going. I'm here every weekend. I'm like, but you don't hear about it. He said, yeah, but it's not a popularity contest, mm-hmm. right? Everybody in this will know what it is you're doing. And I guess that's me. I'm probably the most confusing person in some cases because people see one thing, but then there's always another side.
Definitely. I just want you to hold a thought there because we have on the live line Charissa Monroe, and we're going to have her on now to tell us very quickly about the Legacy Ball. And, you know, it's not a brick because exactly what we're discussing here is about nation building. It's about persons who have given of themselves and who have helped to make the Bahamas a great country. Our guest in studio, Duane Davis, has quietly become what I consider to be one of the new nation builders. And we'll hear more about that as we go. But here we're going to talk about some other persons who have given of themselves to not only make the Bahamas itself a better place, but to put Bahamas on the map that the whole world looks into the Bahamas for direction. Charissa Monroe, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Edwards. How are you?
I am doing fine. It's a pleasure to have you here. It's been a long time coming to hear your voice on The Essentials. And, you know, you are due a full interview here. But right now we are talking about the Legacy Ball.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Pleasure.
Yeah. Tell us.
We have an upcoming.
Go ahead.
We have an upcoming, it's the second annual Monroe Legacy Gala scheduled for Saturday, July 22nd. Mm-hmm. And the gala is just, you know, it's a fundraising event, our main event for the Miles and Ruth Monroe Foundation. And at this event, we're going to be celebrating the lives of the legends, Dr. Miles and Ruth Monroe. And they've started so much, they've done so much. And so we always want to continue to celebrate what they're doing and then also continue what they've already started. And so we're going to, the theme for this year is community service and leadership. And so we're going to be honoring some persons in the Bahamas and around the world who have just been exemplary in community service and their leadership and leading with their gifts and touching lives and impacting the world. So that's what this year is going to be all about. So we're looking forward to just a lot of special guests going to be coming in from out of town. Our own Prime Minister, Honorable Dr. Hubert Minnis, is going to be there, and one of our featured speakers, along with the Speaker of the House, Honorable House of Nutri, is going to be there. And so we're so looking forward to the support. Chow and I are so happy and excited for the support that we've been getting from everyone, our locals, our international, global guests. Mm-hmm. It's just been an awesome experience over the last 2 years.
Yeah, definitely. And so who are some of the persons who will be honored on this particular event, at this particular event?
So our very own Olympian, Levan Superman Sands.
Great.
He's going to be there. And he's been, you know, just a little bit of his story. He and I went to high school together, so I've known Levan even before he started, when he was just at the beginning. And so I've watched him kind of grow through, you know, his track world and track life and jumping, and you know, he went through a point where he had become injured and wasn't able to do anything. They didn't think he was going to be able to come back and still be an Olympian, and he actually showed them, he beat all the odds and showed them that, look, I can train myself, I can come back from an injury after a year and a half and still be a big time Olympian. And then now he's teaching others and coaching others, and so we actually want to just honor him. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we don't like to honor our own people. And so we identified and acknowledged the fact that he has come from you know, small little peon boy. And now he is not only just an Olympian who has taken his fame, but he's actually taken that and now also teaching others. And so he's going to be one of our honorees. Ambassador Young, Andrew Young, is also going to be one of our honorees. Yes. You know, he's big in civil rights movement and all of that in the U.S. And then, of course,
Ambassador Young March with Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King, yes, he did.
Go ahead.
And, of course, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s daughter, Dr. Bernice King, is also going to be one of our honorees.
Great.
And, you know, she'll be there, and we'll be honoring them both for their ongoing leadership and service in the community and around the world. And then lastly, we have a philanthropist and female owner of one of the big companies in the U.S., Eva Daughtry.
Mm-hmm.
I've known her for many years, and she's been doing a lot of giving back. Anything she does at her foundation, she would give back and give back. And so we want to acknowledge these people and encourage them to continue doing what they're doing. And every year we will be identifying persons in the community and around the world who continue to serve their country and serve the world. Because that's what my parents was all about. They were all about people. We are here for the people. And so, you know, we just want to continue just encouraging. And everybody have a legacy to live and a legacy to leave. And so we want to make sure that we encourage people to do that. So that's what the ball is all about. And then, of course, our celebrity host is going to be Ricky Smiley. We'd like to add that laughter and fun to anything that we do, because my dad and mom enjoyed also being serious and focused, but also, you know, being balanced with everything. And so Ricky Smiley is going to bring that joy and that laughter that we're going to have for the evening. So we're really looking forward to him just being typical Ricky Smiley, which is very comical.
Yeah, that sounds like a great lineup. And we want to applaud you and Chiro Miles Jr. for, you know, carrying on the works of Dr. Miles Monroe and your mom, Ruth Monroe. And certainly the persons who you have selected as awardees are, I think, significant icons within society, both here and in the United States. I especially like the fact that you are honoring Lee Van Zandt, who in my mind is one of the greatest comeback stories in sports. Because to do triple jump and to have your knee blown out and to come back, it's not just about being physically ready. It's about going through that mental toughness. And so we applaud you. And we also say to all the persons out there under the sound of our voice, this is something which you need to be a part of. You need to come out and celebrate the fact that there were persons who gave of themselves to not only enrich people, but also to put the Bahamas on the map. This is about the legacy. This is about the work, the effort, and the time of Miles Monroe and all of those other persons who were around him, Dr. Richard Pinder, and the whole crew. And so we ask you to, you know, get your dancing shoes, get your best Sunday dress, put on your black and white, your bow tie, because the Gala Ball is coming. It's going to be next week, and we want to see you there. Anything else to add, Charissa?
Yes, all of the, you know, we, of course, the gala tickets are $200 per person.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be held at the Atlantis Grand Ballroom on July 22nd, which is in 6 days, so we definitely at crunch time. And tickets are actually selling now. So last year we sold out, and so a lot of people were disappointed. So hopefully they can, you know, I know Bahamians like to wait until last minute, but don't wait. If you want to go and buy your tickets now, they can be purchased at the Diplomat Center on Carmichael Road. They can be purchased online at www.mrmfoundation.org,
right.
Or you can purchase by phone at 242-361-8605. 242-361-8605.
Great.
And all the proceeds that we get from this fundraising event on Saturday is going to go towards the enhancement and the development of the different initiatives of the foundation.
Yes.
So we have educational scholarship initiatives. We have a hurricane relief initiative. We also want to develop a Monroe Institute, which is going to be a leadership institute. So all of these funds, you know, we're not pocketing anything. Everything is to go to either continue doing what we've been doing or to build new programs and initiatives that are going to, again, give back to community. So you will be a part of supporting the legacy and vision of the Monroe brand.
Yes, and also,
so I look forward to seeing everybody. Now it's time to get your tickets, and hopefully we can see you there.
Definitely want to thank you for coming on and sharing. This is about supporting not just the legacy, but also supporting the future of a country, because there are young people out there who are going to benefit from the efforts. There are persons who may not be able to go off to college, may not be able to do the things to follow their life dream. But the funding of the foundation, the Monroe Foundation, this is what it's about. So let's all put our money where our mouth is, and let's go out and support a son of the soil. Let's support great persons. Let's support persons who have given significantly to this country. And let's support this whole idea of giving. And it's interesting that this is exactly what we are talking about in the studios. I want to thank you so very much, Charissa. And we will continue to support you here on The Essentials, because as you know, The Essentials is the home of anything Monroe. Mm-hmm. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Have a great day. And so we go back to our guest, Dwayne Davis. We break there to talk about the gala ball for Miles Monroe. But exactly what we're talking about is the way your life has functioned, right? Give us a quick overview, Dwayne, of how did you get to this point? You talk about you growing up, you being humble, you not saying much about the things you're doing, but take us back to your early life. How was the journey? What did you do? Where did you grow up?
If I look back at my early life, I mean, growing up as a kid, my family was fun. Because I was almost a baby. Mm-hmm. And technically speaking, after the passing of my little brother, I am the baby in the family now.
Yes.
So I grew up in an environment, grew up through Sunlight Village off East Street. We lived in the same yard as my grandfather. Mm-hmm. My older siblings, my sister Elaine, my sister Anita, and then to a certain extent, my sisters Ismella, Rose, Judith, they all played a role in growing us up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the days where my sister Elaine, you remember the old Swank's Pizza, Cable Beach, it was a treat every other week to dress up, go to Swank's Pizza, and she'd do this whole trick into the Agnes Graveyard.
I will not and pretend that I know where that is.
Oh yeah, go ahead. It used to be the pizza hut of the 70s and 80s in the Bahamas. And I had a very, very, very happy childhood. I mean, we moved from Sunlight Village to Strong's Corner. People say, oh, you grew up poor. I don't know what that is, because we always had food on our table. My mother took very, 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 very good care of us. We got uncles, and like I said, my older siblings played a major part in where I'm at. I guess for me, it all started in 1993, because in May of 93, I came out of college. And then I took a job for a little small company in like maybe July, August. Then the company shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than sit around, what I did in October 1993, I started my first company, which is Bayshore Solutions Group Limited.
Mm-hmm.
And then and my first client really back in the day was Global Custom Brokers, owned by Mr. Edward Fitzgerald, that's Jerome Fitzgerald's father.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew Mr. Fitzgerald from 1993 to now. He's been probably one of the factors in who I am today, because not only was he an employer, he was a mentor. He assisted you and give advice and so forth.
Yes, and you know, this is classic Dwayne. When you give Dwayne a chance to speak, he'll take it over from you. But go slow with me, because I want to hear a little bit about a very special lady, Miss Shirley. Talk to us.
Oh, my mommy?
Yes.
That's my first love. That's my life. That's my everything. I mean, I wouldn't have done nothing without my mommy. Mm. You know, and as a single mother, she's the reason I am where I am today. I mean, mommy put me through SAC. Mommy put me through college, and up until I became an adult, I never knew what she did until I fully understood what I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the reason why I try and be a very, very good father to my kids, and I also try to be a good husband to my wife.
Yeah.
I'm not perfect, mm-hmm. nobody is, but family is everything to me, mm-hmm. right? I talk to mommy every day. I'm not ashamed to say I'm a mommy's boy. I mean, that's my life, that's my everything, including my sisters,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially my sister Anita, my sister Elaine. You know, we fight like cat and dogs, but we get along real well. And now what a lot of people don't realize, too, is that my sister Ismella, mm-hmm. who was on the police force, mm-hmm. right? I think she's probably the highest ranking female police officer. A lot of persons don't realize that, but that's my baby. We are all close. My sister Judith is a teacher. My sister Rose is a chartered accountant. Then, of course, I have my sister Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us, the thing is when we get together, it's like a party, but family is everything to me, because as the baby, they instilled in me. But mommy always... Mommy had a house where, I remember as a little boy, we used to wake up every Saturday morning and Mommy used to bake fresh loaves of bread and used to have fried fish, right? One joke was, I remember I went to someone's home for dinner and they served lamb chops. This was a couple of years ago. I didn't know what it was. They said, you don't eat lamb chops? I said, nope. They said, why? I said, well, Mommy didn't cook it. I didn't eat it,
yeah,
right? And Mommy never cooked a lamb chop in our house, right? Yeah. I knew what roast was. I knew what everything was because mummy always gave us the best. I mean, I could talk about that forever, but that's my life, you know.
There's another very special individual in your life, AC Anna.
Oh man, the greatest Bahamian that ever walked the earth. That's my granddaddy. I moved back to Nassau in 1985 because I had moved to the States with my father, and I lived in the States for maybe 8 or 9 years. And when I came back home in 1985, my mother and my grandfather used to work for Lowe's Wholesale. My grandfather worked until he retired, and mummy retired from there, and lo and behold, I ended up working there. So I was with my grandfather every day, because when I came back from the States, I used to go to Sox in Augustine's College. So daddy, we affectionately called him daddy, used to drop us to school, and then I used to catch the bus home. But the thing I liked about it was that we spent every day together, because he dropped me to school Monday to Friday. Saturday, I'd wake up, walk around the corner, clean the car. We had a big pigeon coop back in the day, feed the pigeon. We had these big, beautiful German Shepherds. You know, I help them feed the German Shepherds. Mm-hmm. And then I'll clean the car. And the good thing was my grandfather was a large man. So what he used to do is as he walked in the back, I used to drive behind him. But when the large go in session, I had the car for like an hour or two just to run about.
Yes.
You know, and I remember growing up sitting on his porch and him telling me about, you know, the fact of how Collins Wall was built. He always told me the stories about, you know, the Eastern Road and the story on that, according to him. And, you know, he taught me how to tie a tie. Mm-hmm. You know, he always told me that, you know, a man's always dressed regardless of what he's wearing. It's not the clothes, it's the character of the person. Yeah. You know, so my grandfather's my hero, you know, and I speak with him today. You know, he died on September 16, 2001. I'll always remember that date because, you know, losing him was like losing a part of me.
Yes. We are going to go into a break shortly, but one of the things I want to ask you is, what is your philosophy about life? One of the things I noticed about you, there's this phrase that you always use, live your life.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about your philosophy on that.
Live your life came about because in 1993, I lost my little brother was shot and killed. In 1999, I lost my oldest brother. In 2001, I lost my grandfather. And then 2 years ago, I lost someone that was like a father to me, Timothy Ferguson. So basically, I lived my life for the day. Mm-hmm. Because you're not guaranteed anything. Yeah. So I've gone through so much that my philosophy is I'm going to live for today, because today is going to count, because nobody's promised tomorrow. And that's why I tell everybody, live your life.
We're discussing with Dwayne Davis. I promise you that there are things about this young man that you don't know. This is an individual who we met, and we have come to like, mainly because he's very open, he's very honest, and he's very straightforward. Nobody second guess or have to think around exactly what Dwayne Davis is thinking. But more importantly, and we'll pick this up when we come back on the other side of the break, this is an individual who gives his life, who gives his time to the development of young people. And there's a reason he did that. Because he too had his own journey. You've been listening to The Essentials so far. We are in studio with Dwayne Davis, my co-hosts Rodney Bain and Kenny Mackey. Stay tuned. Don't move. Get all the young men. Bring them to the radio. Get all the young people. Bring them to the radio. Because now you're going to understand the true essence of the man. Come right back.
Have a problem that you understand.
We all need somebody to lead.
I don't know if it's the way the sauce is prepared, but I could literally eat Balo's jerk all day. I mean, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's very addictive, and I encourage everyone to try it at least once. And I promise you, it won't be the last.
Big up Balo's jerk, the best authentic yard jerk chicken spot on the island. And that's the thing. Big up yourself, Balo's.
Balo's jerk is the best in town. Their meat and their sauce is on point. You gotta try it.
Imagine a restaurant that offers Bahamian cuisine with a distinctive island flavor. Imagine down-home crab soup, steelfish, crab and rice, baked crabs, and island lemonade that will electrify your taste buds. Imagine a relaxed atmosphere with the feel of real island culture where you can enjoy everything that is uniquely Bahamian. Imagine the remarkable Jumbe Cafe at the Village Road Shopping Center, Village and Burnett Road. Welcome to Jumbe Cafe. Come taste the rhythm.
Is the fear of public speaking holding you back? Then it's time to speak fearlessly. The only public speaking coaching program that gives you the confidence to face your fears, find your voice, and free your power. Become the dynamic, fearless speaker you've always wanted to be. Register for Speak Fearlessly today. Call 429-6770. That's 429-6770 or email coaching242@yahoo.com.
Cash and Go is beating the heat this summer. Spend $50 or more to be entered to win $18,000 in cash and prizes. Cash and Go is giving away $1,500 in cash and Go bucks, a 24,000 BTU ductless unit, and the grand prize of an ATV four-wheeler bike. All you have to do is pay all of your utility bills, purchase airline tickets, pay BAF premiums, or send funds with MoneyGram, and you're in. Visit any one of our 14 locations today and get entered to win.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to The Essentials as we listen to Jimmy Cliff speaking to the journey of Duane A. Davis. Journeys. This is a man who has traveled much, traveled far, and through his mind with understanding, trying to understand the essence of the man. So Duane, we have heard about you, your family. We've heard about your great mentor, your grandfather, A.C. Anna. But one of the biggest things which stands out for us is your focus on mentorship and the fact that you spend a lot of time giving back to young people through various organizations. You're also a big proponent of Toastmasters.
Yes.
And a lot of persons may know you through the Toastmaster movement. And that has created, if you will, a platform from which you have done many, many things. Talk to us about that. Talk to us about why it is important to do the things that you've done and why have you conducted your life in this manner?
Well, I think growing up in the Bahamas in the 80s and 90s, we went through a transition where, you know, we had the drug culture and then we started getting the gang culture, like rebellions and so forth. I graduated from college in May of 1993, and in July of 1993, my 16-year-old brother got shot and killed through Strong's Corner.
Mm-hmm. What was the circumstances?
To this day, we still don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, all we know was that he was shot point-blank range with a shotgun. He lived for a week and he died. But it's a case that even now, this is, oh my God, maybe 20-something years later, and we still never know the true circumstances around it. Oh. But I attribute that to where I'm at today, you know, because from his death until I think my son was born, my son Duane was born in January, was born January 1995. Mm-hmm. I literally just consumed myself with work. You know, I worked like 6-hour days, 18-hour days, and just got as much knowledge as I could. Mm-hmm. But along the path, I saw, you know, you had rebellions and all these other gangs coming out. And I was constantly harassed as a young boy. Oh, you soft, you this, you that. But I used to ignore it. So when I walk out the corner to go to my grandfather, between my home and East Street in Strong's Corner, the harassment I went through was crazy. So mm-hmm. I could have gone down a different path, but I didn't. So what I wanted to do is give back. So what I did was through my fraternity, Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity, and a couple of great individuals like Bill Wallace, Gino Nan, Frank Pancharami, Rupert Gardner, even Branzo Roll. They were my fraternity brothers, and I also came up under them. They also mentored me. So we had started a program called Guide Right at C.H. Reeves. Mm-hmm. And working along with Jerome Sawyer, that many of you know, Jerome's also my frat brother. Jerome and I, for many, many years, until our career started to grow, every Tuesday used to work with young men at C.H. Reeves in grade 10, 11, and 12. I catapulted off of that because in August of 1993, after Shane had died, I went, my brother Keith invited me to Toastmasters. So in August of 93, I went to Toastmasters meeting. I met guys like Lambert Raming and Tony Longley and Clem Foster, Keith Major, Ed Carey, Charlie DeVoe, L. Edgar Moxie. All these guys just took me in, and they were like, look, what you going to do? Are you going to be a part of us? And you're going to grow. And basically, they were the harshest, they were the most harshest critics of the world.
They haven't changed you.
No. No.
Well, the stories I've heard.
Oh, man, that's
and
crazy.
And I can't vouch for the stories.
Oh, no, I can tell you some stories.
I do understand that some of those harsh moments were needed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, you know, because between me and you, I had a chip on my shoulder as a young man because I felt as if I had lost so much. You know, my brother died in 93, then my father died like in 95. So I figured, you know, what's going on? And so what they did, they kind of calmed me down, especially Clem Foster, who was probably one of my best friends in the whole world. And one day he say, bad boy, he's calling me bad boy, you just need to calm down. You know, people listen to you. You don't always have to be so biggity. And that was in the parking lot after the Toastmasters meeting. And then I remember going for a job interview for the Royal Mike Calendar in 1996. In 1994. And when you got men like Bill Wallace and Clem and Ed again, those write a reference for you. Says a lot about who you are. So what you don't want to do is you don't want to disappoint them.
Gotcha.
Because disappointing them is probably worse than you getting fired. So that was always my motivation. And like I tell young people, like I tell my son, you know, when I work with young people, I always say, look, I'm not doing you a favor. I'm just trying to give you an opportunity, right? You're doing this for you. You're not really doing it for me, right? So when you disappoint, when you make a mistake, you're not only going to disappoint yourself, but you're also going to disappoint those that push you forward. I've also been very, very active with Junior Achievement I don't even remember how long. And that's just my passion, working with young persons. You know, I try and give as much time as I could to them. I get invited to speak to different groups. My company that I started in 2011, I also make it a purpose to donate at least about 20% of our revenue. I've been doing that since August of 2011. Wow. So what we do is, based on what we would have made, I would donate to Junior Achievement. I would donate to all of the popular stuff. But I think for me, and I've even put this particular charity in my will, which is Salvation Army. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, why would you do that? You know, it's interesting that, and I got weird correlations. I remember after Michael Jackson died, they were talking about his will and what all he did with it. And he left quite a bit of money to different charities. And then I remember going to Calvary Bible Church, visiting a couple of years ago, and they're talking about leaving money in your will to the church or leaving money in your will to something other than your family. Mm-hmm. Not that you're neglecting your family, but you're giving back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when I redid my will, I donated 5% or whatever my assets are when I have to move on to the Salvation Army as well as to the Red Cross. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I feel that's me giving back to the community.
What do you think sparked the spirit of giving back, though? That's woven into your whole thing. And what happened to say, I have to give more?
Because a lot was given to me. You know, like I said, my siblings took very, 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 very good care of me as a little boy. They made sacrifice. I remember me and my sister Anita fighting over a car, right? Because I just wanted to go out. But she always gave it to me. I'd get fussed. My sister Elaine, even though she's been working with government from time immemorial, right, just giving me whatever she had. My mummy giving to me. You know, I've just always had persons who gave to me. So for me, I just feel that it's my entitlement to give back. But don't get it confused with taking advantage, right? Because, for example, I very rarely donate to stuff like stakeouts and all of that, right? And like I said, I always correlate stories. I was traveling with a very, 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 because I don't travel the world. I don't travel with a very, very rich person. He said to me, he said, you know what? I don't donate to stakeouts and cookouts and so forth. He said, because if everyone would just give that money to you rather than putting it in the event, you'd be amazed to know how much you could raise. Because when you look at the efforts that go behind a cookout and persons donating and so forth, just take that money and then see what you can do. Mm-hmm. Mind you, I'm not saying that there's something wrong with it, but that's just my philosophy. Mm-hmm. You know, mummy will call me with certain things like, oh, this person need this person need that. But I know where to draw the line. But as far as my kids, my wife, my immediate family, if I have it, it's theirs pretty much.
Any reason you chose those particular organizations?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I look at them the way I look at life, right? When you look at the Salvation Army, the person that runs it lives upstairs. He doesn't live a flamboyant life, and they give a lot. Even what I do is, what we do is we collect, like my son, my 6-year-old has a lot of toys, and he goes through a lot of clothes. Mm. So what we do is we make sure we take very good care of those, and we package those. And at least 3 or 4 or 5 times a year, I'll go to the thrift shop on top of Mackey Street, mm-hmm. and I'll take them with me. Right, it's a funny story. I remember one time we had packed up like about 4 or 5 bags of stuff, right? Some stuff he never wore. And I walk in the thrift shop, like for one of the first time I've been there, and I just gave him the stuff and I walked out. And there was this one lady, for some reason, every time I go there, she's there. So I remember a couple months ago, I went, she's walking, and she said, hold on. So she said, why? She said, this man's up some good stuff. I want to see what he bring in. Wow. Like, I want to see what he bring in the other day. You know, but that just, I think if we could put together more structured organization for help, mm-hmm. it'll go a lot longer.
You know, Duane, one of the areas which I personally observe you're given in is within your network. You know, you have obviously spoken quite extensively just now, and persons would get the impression that you have a very extensive network, but you go above and beyond to help those persons who are close to you, not necessarily family, but persons who are in your circle. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I spent about 20 years working in private banking, and I also had an opportunity to meet many of the clients that we deal with. And I noticed with them, family and immediate friends are always there. I've been called every name known to man for persons who don't know me. But once you get to know me, I value loyalty and friendship. And I will give you my last if I have to. I think it's important to build a circle because, like they say, it takes a village to raise a child. Mm-hmm. I think it takes a corporation to build a life, right? Mm-hmm. I made a joke one time ago. I told someone, me trying to travel, and I used to travel quite a bit over the years, like trying to move to President of the United States. I said, why? I said, well, you know, my wife used to work to Atlantis, and she used to work ships. Then we have young children. So, and then the children and my kids go to school, then they swim. So I need someone. So A, someone need to drop them to school. Then someone need to pick them up from school and drop them to swimming. Then someone need to get them from swimming and take them home, make sure they eat, make sure they do their homework. Then you start it all over again. Mm-hmm. You know, up until maybe 2 years ago, I used to literally drop my children to school every morning. Mm-hmm. Even DJ, who's 22 now. And I did that because I had to pick them up and drop them off depending on how my wife's schedule was mm-hmm. when she went to work. But I did that because it gave me an opportunity, because I work long hours, mm. right? And also, you know, I socialize quite a bit with a lot of my network because that's how I grow, that's how I learn. So rather than me go work 9 to 5 and run home, I work 9 to 5 and then I stop and have a glass of water or a cup of tea, you know, till about 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Or some fish fingers.
Yeah.
Love it.
And anyone who knows me, I'm an avid cigar smoker, right? Yeah. So it relaxes me. Yeah. So when I leave from work, I socialize. But it's not always socializing, it's also networking.
Yeah.
I would know what's going on. I could ask advice on something. Everyone that I basically hang out with is much older than I, mm-hmm. right? So I also learn quite a bit from them as well, too.
One thing you shared a story with me, but I love this, that you said you set out a time in your schedule every day to pick up your kids, and no matter what the meetings were, you schedule around that, because that's how important it was to you to pick up your kids. And from then I appreciate that, because you're very successful, but then you showed in that moment that family is equally as important.
Yeah, that's during my corporate days. What I used to do was I'm a stickler for details. I always know where I'm going to be up to 3 months out, right? I am that, I cover my schedule that tight because of all the things I have to do. So what I used to do when I was at RBC, Abaco Marcus, and UBS, I used to book from the first day of the year until school closed and around holidays, between 2:45 and 4 o'clock. I booked no meetings. Reason why is because between 2:45 and 4 and 5 o'clock, I would leave the office. And back then, Maddie was at Xavier's and DJ's at SAC. So I'd leave the office at 2:45, drive all the way west, grab Maddie, come back around Bay Street, grab DJ. And then Maddie's much younger as before. We had the help that we have now. And I had to drop Maddie to Mummy, drop DJ to St. John's to swim. Then I used to go back to UBS, work, leave work about 6:30, grab DJ from swimming, grab Maddy from by mummy. By that time, mummy didn't feed her, or my sister, she didn't eat, she didn't have dinner, she didn't bathe, she just go to bed, DJ do his homework, and then we start all over again. Yeah. Because back in the hotel, my wife used to work shifts, so you never knew how it was.
Let's take our first clip, and we want to talk, it speaks about making an impact. And that's exactly what we're hearing here from Duane Davis. How you can live your life. It may not seem like much, but believe me, those persons who are being impacted know the benefit of it. So let's listen to this clip.
When we're laying on our deathbed, you're not going to worry about how much money you had, how much power you had, how much prestige. You're going to see that that was all game, that that was all an illusion. The only thing that's going to matter is the impact you had on other people's lives.
We are all on a separate journey. But the beautiful thing about our life here on this earth is at my funeral, they ain't going to talk about my success. They're going to talk about who Nick was and how Nick lived and how Nick loved and encouraged.
Success is incredibly important, but even more important than success, it's having an impact. It's knowing you haven't walked the planet in vain. It's knowing that because you've been here, you've blessed lives. You've developed people, and you have made the world a better place.
The effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is. Everything you gain in life will rot and fall apart, and all that will be left of you is what was in your heart.
Life is a mirror. And life gives us not what we want. Life gives us who we are. When you were born, you cried while the world rejoiced. Live your life in such a way that when you die, the world cries while you rejoice.
The world doesn't give you what you want. It gives you
who you are.
Who you are.
Yeah, that's so true.
When you come to that moment, Duane, and you obviously have given this enough thought, you talk about your will, you talk about how you kind of plan your life out. Many of us are not there yet. You have quietly achieved as a young person within the Bahamas quite a bit. You have traveled extensively. You have had the opportunity to interact with many. When you look around, though, and given your passion for young people, what is one of the biggest things which pains you as to the way we are structured here in the Bahamas? What are some of the challenges that you have as an individual just looking on the scene and wish that if you had that power, if I gave you a magic wand, what is that one or two things you would change firstly?
The thing that irks me a lot, or the thing that irks me quite a bit nowadays, is the level of impatience. And like the young people would say, the chase for that paper, or the passion for money. You know, I thank you for the compliments. You know, you say that I've achieved quite a bit and I've traveled quite a bit. That is true. Between 1998 and 2011, I used to travel an average of 15 to 17 weeks a year, or somewhere in that, and somewhere around there. But here's something that a lot of people didn't know. I wasn't making a lot of money back then, and I used to save quite a bit. So what I did, I sacrificed the salary to gain the experience. Right, so what I did was I took an all right salary, I could have made a lot more, but I wouldn't have been able to travel to Europe and Canada. And I was always the youngest. I took a regional manager position at RBC at 28. Mm-hmm. Right. So in July 1999, 28, I became responsible for RBC Private Banking for the Bahamas, Barbados, Bermuda, Cayman Islands, Turks and Caicos. Mm-hmm. Right. The title sounded wonderful. The money wasn't there. But you guess what? Paul Patterson, my vice president at the time at RBC, took me under his wing. And he basically nurtured me into who I am. When I look at men like, say, Chester Cooper, who's a personal friend of mine, and how successful he's become, and we're basically the same age, that's my motivation. I would like to be like Chester, mm-hmm. right? I would like to be like Sandy Mollier. I'd like to be, these are guys I look up to, right? Or I'd like to be like a Julian Rule, right? They all a part of that particular company, but these are all successful young Bahamian men. Our young people today want it, and they want it now. Mm-hmm. I call them the instant generation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks that they're entitled to what they're entitled to. Many of you have been to my home. That's 16 years worth of work. I built my house in 1999, and what my wife and I did was every couple of years we'll renovate or we'll improve it. One thing I did too was that I used to be a great saver. I mean, I could save 20-30% of my yearly income, put it on the side, and I did a lot of stuff with cash, mm-hmm. right? All my vehicles are paid for, the renovations I did, I paid for all the money that I saved. And even now I have no consumer loans, mm-hmm. right? So the biggest thing for me is my mortgage and credit cards. But I save. Mind you, I have a spending spree. But young people see it, and the minute they see it, they want it, right? It doesn't make a difference how hard you may have worked for it. You give somebody a salary nowadays. I find myself in my business when I have to hire persons is, I actually got to give them a U.S. salary and a Bahamian salary, right? And people say, what is that? Well, living in the U.S., there's certain things you're going to have to pay. You're going to be in a tax bracket. And if you're living in Florida, you might just pay local tax. If you live in somewhere like New York, you pay state, local, and federal. And you have to show them, this is what you make living there, and this is what you make living here. But I keep telling people that in the Bahamas, you can choose your lifestyle, right? One like me, who, like I say, I often partake in my tea and water. You know, I could buy a $2 water on Awaki, where I hang out, yeah. by Trudy's with my boys. Or I could buy a $6 tea at Olive's or somewhere out west. So it depends on what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. You clearly have, you know, developed a great network, developed a number of very close-knit friends. So much so that I have one of them on the line right now, calling from another place in the world, who wants to give his views on how he observed you growing up. Because he has spent some time with you.
Interesting.
And so I just want to welcome to The Essentials, Mr. Dwight Boris. How are you, sir?
Hey, man.
It's certainly a pleasure to have you calling all the way from, we won't disclose your location just now, but you are here to speak to us about Dwayne. You have been around him for quite a while. You have seen his growth. You have seen his development. What about him has impacted and impressed you the most?
Thank you very much, Hubert. I'll start by saying this is the very first time I'm actually tuning into Essentials. I'm streaming all the way from about 500 miles south of the Bahamas, so it's a real pleasure. And, you know, through streaming, who should I find as your guest? None other than my very good friend, me and Alan Davis. So if you allow me a minute or two, I just wanted to pay tribute to a young man who I consider to be my friend, my colleague, and my mentor. He's probably never heard me use that term.
Nah, never.
I joined Toastmasters back in 1999, for those who may not know, March of 1999, and it would have been about 3 months later when I was elected as a sergeant at arms, and coincidentally under the leadership of Dwayne Davis. I won't get into details of the way he leads, but I'll say that I definitely have respect for the young man. In my opinion, a true representation of Bahamian talent leadership. I'll tell you one thing I admire most is, again, personally, I think he is one of the hardest workers that I've seen, not only in the program, Toastmasters, but generally as a young Bahamian man. I'm convinced he has some type of Long Island blood. But you know, I'll chalk it up to the fact that he's from San Salvador, which is pretty close.
Yeah, man.
Again, I mean, I've watched Dwayne give his time in Toastmasters and his sorority. Family is priority to him. Again, I've watched for 19, almost 20 years. I've watched him in the way he manages his relationship with Stacia and his kids. My wife had the opportunity to tutor his daughter. And again, the time and effort put into the family, again, outside of that, I always thought he was one of the top IT executives in the Bahamas, if not the region. I remember doing flying around the region for a couple of years. I believe in a previous role, it may have been at RBC or one of those. And again, doing all that while, again, molding himself as one of the top MCs in the country. And all the while, again, setting up his own business. And so, being a successful entrepreneur, personally, I have huge respect for his ability to manage through key challenges over the last 19 years. I obviously won't go into details, but again, huge respect. The fella isn't as young as he used to be. Again, huge potential as a nation builder. I'm proud to call him my friend. Davis, again, my very first time watching Essentials. Continue to do well, my brother.
Yes, we want to thank you for taking the time out to connect with us all the way from Cayman, and we want to use this opportunity to say to you, Dwight Boris, congratulations on your posting there. You are with Scotiabank. You have done this country proud. They have selected an individual from the Bahamas to go over there and to lead, in a very, very senior position. And so we want to extend our congratulations to you as we are here having this conversation with Dwight, with Dwayne Davis. Because at the end of the day, this year, as we mentioned before, we are going to focus on the new nation builders. And we consider him to be one. We consider you to be one. You are out there spreading the love, if you will, spreading the knowledge, spreading the skills that you would have developed here in this country. And so we want to say congratulations to you. And we want to say to you, we thank you for showing humility of being able to call in and celebrate with a colleague. Because many times we are able to observe the achievement of others, but we cannot get ourselves to that place where we actually unreservedly celebrate them. And so we want to appreciate that for you.
No, absolutely, man. Listen, I'm out here representing fellas like me, right? So again, always a pleasure. I continue to do well. I'll stay on stream and watch the fella and celebrate Dwayne, man.
Yeah, man.
Do well, my brother.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Hey, man. Thanks a lot, Dwight. I appreciate the kind words, man.
Dwayne, he mentioned the fact that you are easily one of the leading IT professionals in the region.
I'm all right.
Okay. Since you insist, I'll rephrase. You're one of the all right IT professionals and operation. But you come with a different package because you have a broad-based approach. You have done IT, you have done operations. Uh-huh. But you have also had the opportunity through your entrepreneurial endeavors and through your employee endeavors to be in a broad range of businesses. You cut across multiple sectors. Speak to us about the importance of IT. In these days, they refer to it as ICT, Information Communication Technology. The importance of that for the Bahamas. As the Bahamas seeks to develop itself, there are many models out there. The Estonian model, which has become one of the first e-country, if you will. Talk to us about how important this is and what sort of concerns you may have, if any, as it relates to youths and the use of technology.
Well, the Bahamas has huge potential when it comes to technology. For example, when you look at the liberation of the cell phone, of the telecommunication community, and with a new player in the industry now alive, and when you look at the penetration of that particular company and how excited people are to get a good, solid, fast network. Like I told someone the other day, this was the first fully social media election we've ever had. They said, oh, no, that's not true. We had it in 2012. No, you didn't. Mm-mm. Because in 2012, you only could have used your Facebook on your home computer. Mm-hmm. Now you got on your smartphone. We didn't have Snapchat, Twitter, all that stuff, right? That technology is still 10 years old. What's hurting the Bahamas right now, in my opinion, Edwards, is three things. Number one, Bahamians need to stop buying an expensive phone to use WhatsApp or to use Facebook. App development has not reached the point where they could in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. For example, when I travel with my family on vacation, I basically use an app for everything. I use the app to check into my airline. I use the app to buy my airline ticket. I use the app to do my food. I use the app to do my car rental. I use the app for everything to go to For example, if we go to Magic Kingdom, I use the app to find who has the shortest lines. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten there yet in the Bahamas. Is number one. Number two, I think that our parents spent so much time trying to give us what they thought we needed, rather than open our minds. For example, in my house, we have a thing where with my children, all of them would be on a computer from the minute they know what's going on, or an iPad or whatever. So I try and expose them to technology. The third thing that's hurting the Bahamas is the fear of technology. When I started Bayshore in January of 2011, I used to bid on everything, right? Because I have no fear. As far as I'm concerned, my biggest competitor is the guy that got to jump on the plane and come here to bid against me. Mm-hmm. But in the Bahamas, I've done a few transformational projects over the last 4 years. But they've stalled because people see technology as replacing them, right? Rather than technology enhancing their lifestyle, mm-hmm. right? When you look, for example, I remember it was an agency where we've automated some things on the back end. That stalled because, number one, we always, and all the businesses that I've worked in and all the clients I've talked to, people see technology as a cost center, not as an essential of the business. So rather than spend $3, $4, $5 million in technology, they rather use that on sales and then spend $1 million on technology. So what happens is you spend $5 million bringing in the people, but then you can't handle them because you don't have the technology on the back end. So then what you do is you have manual or old processes, which leads to theft or mistakes or poor customer service, right? If I had my way right now, I would, if someone was to drop couple million in my hand right now, the first thing I'd do is try and buy at least a 25,000 to 30,000 foot building and do a boys club of the Bahamas. And it would be a tech spot, meaning that kids, it would be what you call a safe zone, where our young generation could come, they could log onto to internet the fastest possible. They'll be able to do some coding, they'll be able to do website design, they'll be able to do research and homework. On top of that, they'll also have some sports. But what's missing with our children is that many of us get these phones or these devices and we use it to be either play numbers or to, like I say, use WhatsApp or Facebook. We don't engage them enough to say this is what a PC can do. If you look at, as many of you know, I'm the director of IT at Alive, right? One of the things that we've done is our company's driven on technology. If you visit me, there's no phones on the desk because everybody has a cell phone. There are no desktop computers because everybody has a laptop. Right, and then you sync that, and then you can sync that with you can sync the devices to always know where you are. When you come in our lobby, we have our iPad, and you use Pingboard to say, "Hey, I'm here." Right, those are kind of technology that we're trying to do. If you look at as we build out the family islands, everything comes back to one central location based on the platform. So I can log into any store, look at what's going on in the camera. I'll be about to go Bimini, Andres, and Exuma. I can log into a store in Georgetown. I could tell you what customers coming in there, what traffic they're looking at based on the Wi-Fi that we have. We can use the cameras to determine where they're going. We can even tweak the network to say this. When you walk and say, oh, Edwards, you were on Google last time you were here. Welcome back. And Google. So we're trying to use technology. And I use technology for everything. Mm-hmm. My home has been wired from day one, where basically when you walk in my yard, you jump on my network. I know what you're searching. I know where you're trying to search. I know what you're doing. I can log in from anywhere in the world, see what's going on at home. All of my kids, all of them except the little man, they have an iPhone that connects to the iPad, that connects to their MacBook. That's me, that's DJ, that's Station, that's Madison. Malik only has an iPad because he's only six. and I guarantee as he gets older, he'll probably get a Mac and then he'll start doing things, but he'll sit on the computer and do it. Mm-hmm. Parents need to invest in technology for their children outside of video games. Mm-hmm.
So you are advocating an environment where we actually encourage and push them to exploit the use of technology.
Yeah, man.
Not just for fun,
yes,
but as a means of developing their skill set, which they're going to need in the years to come.
If, you know, the one thing that bothers me today is the lack of young, black, educated, professional men or women in technology. I was in Barcelona in March with well over 55 to 60,000 persons. And intentionally I did this. I probably count maybe 25, 30 persons of color there. I was at Cisco Live, which is a huge trade show in Vegas 3 weeks ago. 28,000 attendees. I could count people of color on my hand. I did what they call the management training track. And in that, it was only 5 persons of color out of 1,600 registrants that was doing the management track, meaning that they were either IT director, senior director, CIO, or decision maker, right? Because we have this concept that it seems like we're afraid of technology, mm-hmm, right? We want to be doctors, we want to be lawyers, but guess what? Doctors and lawyers, their office need to be powered by technology,
mm-hmm,
right? We want to be bankers. The bank is powered by technology. One thing I like that I've seen this summer, there's a lot of coding camp. There's a lot of schools that are doing coding.
Right.
There's a young behemoth I've never met. I forgot her name. They said she's a rocket science, right? She's coming. I'm looking forward to meeting her because she's doing a coding camp, mm-hmm, right? As well as someone is doing a coding camp as well. So I think we need to do more technology. We need to involve kids more in technology.
I am very, very curious as to why or how you got into technology at the era that you did. You graduated in 1993, correct?
Mm-hmm.
At that time, technology had not seeing its prominence as yet. It wasn't until the later 90s, I want to say early 2000s probably, where it really had that kind of boom. What encouraged you and what inspired you to even get into that industry at that point of your life? Because I want to guess you got into that in the 80s or early 90s.
Well, you know, Edwards asked me a little bit about my mother. I was a mommy's boy, so I stay at home a lot. Mm-hmm. And staying home a lot, I get bored pretty quickly, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got a very short attention span, but I could do multiple things. And I saw technology as that way for me to be engaged.
But at this time, technology wasn't as readily available.
You know why? Because when you look at it, in 1993, the internet didn't exist yet.
Exactly.
Right? So I came through the evolution of technology. So from 1993, then you had Windows 95, then you had the dial-up modem. So I basically transitioned through the different levels of technology. Right? One last thing. What you're seeing now today, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, that's 10 years old technology. It's brand new. I've been doing this for 25 years. So that's 15 years where we're just hard code going out there on the ground doing things and just learning. And you got to continue to grow. And every day is a new day. You learn something new every day.
You hear it from the man. He has come a very far way. He has journeyed, embraced family, embraced mentorship, and is constantly giving back. He has a wealth of knowledge. This is the type of persons that we need in this new Bahamas. Persons like Dwayne, persons who are going to not only learn, not only put themselves out there and learn great things, but be willing to give it back and be willing to have ideas, and not just ideas for self-aggrandization or self-growth, but ideas which can move the country forward. You listen to The Essentials. We're going to take a break here. I'm here with Dwayne Davis, who is my guest, and I have my co-host Rodney Bain and Kenny Mackey. When we come back, we're going to ask him to dream up for us, to use his great skills of technology and dream up that future for the Bahamas. Stay tuned. Don't move.
I don't know if it's the way the sauce is prepared, but I could literally eat Balo's jerk all day. I mean, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's very addictive, and I encourage everyone to try it at least once. And I promise you, it won't be the last.
Big up Barlow's Jerk, the best authentic yard jerk chicken spot on the island. And that's the thing. Big up yourself, Barlow's.
Barlow's Jerk is the best in town. Their meat and their sauce is on point. You gotta try it.
Is the fear of public speaking holding you back? Then it's time to speak fearlessly. The only public speaking coaching program that gives you the confidence to face your fears, find your voice, and free your power. Become the dynamic, fearless speaker you've always wanted to be. Register for Speak Fearlessly today. Call 429-6770. That's 429-6770 or email coaching242@yahoo.com.
Cash and Go is beating the heat this summer.
Spend $50 or more to be entered to win $18,000 in cash and prizes. Cash & Go is giving away $1,500 in Cash & Go bucks, a 24,000 BTU ductless unit, and the grand prize of an ATV four-wheeler bike. All you have to do is pay all of your utility bills, purchase airline tickets, pay BAF premiums, or send funds with MoneyGram, and you're in. Visit any one of our 14 locations today and get entered to win.
Imagine a restaurant that offers Bahamian cuisine with a distinctive island flavor. Imagine down-home crab soup, steelfish, crab and rice, baked crabs, and island lemonade that will electrify your taste buds. Imagine a relaxed atmosphere with the feel of real island culture where you can enjoy everything that is uniquely Bahamian. Imagine the remarkable Jumbe Cafe at the Village Road Shopping Center, Village and Burnett Road. Welcome to Jumbe Cafe. Come taste the rhythm.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to The Essentials as we listen to the sound of Sam Cooke in the background.
Man, that's my favorite song.
We know it's your favorite song. Like I told you during Davis, when we do The Essentials, we do our research.
Oh, that's awesome. I listen to this song at least 3-4 times a week.
We try to surprise our guests now and again.
Oh, man, I love that song.
By digging into their network and finding out exactly what they like and what they do not like. But let me give you a quick quote here from Hubert Edwards Global. Staying in the game is the only way to win. Achieving one's greatness requires staying in the game. Dwayne Davis has shown us that through the ups and downs, through the great moments, through the sacrifices, the one thing that he has done, he has stayed in the game. One of the things which he said, and he may have missed some because he went by it very fast. There was a point in his early life coming out of school where he couldn't get a job. And what he decided to do, he decided to start his own business. So entrepreneurship for you, Dwayne Davis, is absolutely very important. You have a lot of experience there. I want you to take us through that entrepreneurial process and speak to the state of the Bahamas in terms of being sufficiently facilitative with regards to entrepreneurship and the whole idea of us embracing a meritocracy versus a dependency situation.
It's very hard to open up, to form a business in the Bahamas. And one like me, that and people consider me connected, it was extremely frustrating to get started. You know, from the incorporation and then getting stuff back from RGD to actually take it and to be able to set up the company. You know, when I first started out with my current company, I started working from my home. I built an office onto the house. And you needed a certificate from Ministry of Works to say that you can work from your home. I found that kind of weird. I needed that letter to be able to work from your home. There are some things that could change. I think one thing that could encourage more business development, Edwards, is, and this has been a pet peeve of mine for a while, if more Bahamian businesses would support Bahamian businesses, I think you could see more growth.
You think that that's a significant impact?
It is. In my field, and talking to a lot of professionals in the IT field, our biggest competitors in the field of technology are foreigners. Mm-hmm. Because in the Bahamas, you could jump on a plane, cut a deal, and then you could go. Because with technology, you could work remote from anywhere in the world.
Right.
There isn't sufficient Bahamians that actually give us the opportunity for the big stuff. When I say big stuff, the big contracts, the bailout, the automations, the integration, the training. They give you the small things.
Why is this so? Is it an issue of that the local professionals aren't capable of delivering are delivering at a price which doesn't make it a sufficiently good enough value proposition, why would I not employ Rodney, who is as capable as Jose, if Rodney's right here with me?
I don't have an answer, but let me give you an example. I try and practice what I preach. In all my years working in corporate, we always brought people in to do things. When I took the position at Alive July of last year, I made it a point to use local Bahamian talent to help build the company. So a vast percentage of the monies that we used to build a network was spent locally. We had Cloud Carib that did our servers and software. We had Honored Systems. We used DC. We used Micronet, right? We used custom computers. We used Quantum in Freeport, right? Because I wanted to use as much local talent mm-hmm. as I could.
So it's possible.
It's very possible. The talent is here. Also, what I've done is in my working, I've put together what I call a conglomerate. Right, not a conglomerate, but a corporation of persons. I am not a know-it-all in technology. It's impossible to be a know-it-all. Mm-hmm. So I went out and I found me a partner that does structured cabling. I found me a partner that does telecommunication. I found me a partner that's smarter than me that does engineering, which is like consolidated technologies, right? And then you have Infinity Electrical that does all my structured cabling. And then I went ahead and I found a partner that could provide all of our hardware and supplies. So I surrounded myself and the company with competent local individuals. Mind you, you may need to go off and get some expert advice, mm-hmm. but I think if you at least start here, you'll be amazed at the level of talent that we have.
So it's doable. It's just that we don't.
It is very doable. We just don't. A lot of ways we don't.
How do we get to that place where the local talent, the local professional, the local expertise is embraced? And when I say embrace, I mean both from the public sector, the private sector, and all throughout, that we have the persons here capable of doing that, and we are going to use local talent.
I'll just use one example. In 2013, I had done a bid on a contract, and I never heard back from the person, and casually over drinks, the comment was, man, you know, I gave that contract to so-and-so company out of Europe. He said, but you can imagine if I gave you all that money to his contract, I wouldn't be able to talk to you anymore.
Wow.
That's the mentality.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? I honestly, the Bahamas, in my opinion, has so much advantage and so much opportunities. I wonder sometimes, I guess we just don't like ourselves,
mm-hmm.
right? When you look at the amount of filth and dirt on the street, when you look at how we treat each other, the pettiness, right? When you look at the lack of opportunities, right? When I go, when my business bid for a contract, we go up against big companies, but I don't shy. We bid on a contract for Bahama. Mm-hmm. And that's one example. We bid on a very big contract at Bahama, and using local Bahamian businesses, I was able to get funding to build out the Wi-Fi network at Bahama. Right? I guess maybe I was just a token vendor. I didn't make the second cut. Hmm. But the international vendors were so impressed with my proposal that they contacted me, flew me and my company to to LA. And then when they submitted their bid, they were gonna. If we had won the contract, Bayshore was gonna do the installation, the maintenance, and the support. I couldn't get it here, but I could have get it somewhere else. I had another big contract that I bid on. I didn't win. The company that won it, me and the individual met in the airport somewhere. He called me to actually do the integration for him. So the company offshore won the contract, but locally, myself and I had about 8 or 9 young fellas from BTVI and COB that I hired.
Mm-hmm.
And that was deploying TVs for a major hotel,
right?
Then there was a major local bank that wanted to upgrade all their computers, and they gave it to a foreign company. Then they contracted my company to actually do the work for them.
Wow.
And these are all true stories.
You know, I think the point you make is one of the things which we as a country need to revisit. There is seemingly a psyche which looks out first before it looks within.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proposing, and I can be challenged, but I'm proposing that if the country is going to become all that it is capable of, there are some more deliberate decisions which have to be taken. That first, you check the win, and then you check Rodney, and then you check Kenny.
You have to check each other.
Only then do mm-hmm. you then move out and check some places, because we cannot simply make decisions for today.
We got to look forward.
We have to look for the future. And by parsing out the jobs, if you will, locally, what you're doing is building capacity and building expertise, which is going to impact us in the future. And as we talk about the future, doing, paying for us what a future should look like. Not simply in the IT or the information and technology space, but the future that Dwayne Davis would love to see for the Bahamas, that he would love to walk away from when such time comes and be comfortable that DJ and Maddie and everybody is in a place which embraces them because of what they're capable of doing and not because of who they may know.
I would love to see a Bahamas where it doesn't make a difference who you vote for in elections. I would love to see a Bahamas where it doesn't make a difference what church you go to or what type car you drive or which area you live in. Right, I think we have become so partisan that it's destroying us, right? It is sad that I have persons tell me, man, you should be drinking at so-and-so Cable Beach. Why use drink on the key? Really? Right? I think the Bahamas have gotten so caught up in what we call the pettiness, and we've become so materialistic. We often wonder why our young people are the way they are today. Dropping my son to school and watching the parents carry on in the parking lot, you say, and they expect the kids to be better. When you look at some of the posting that people put on Facebook and the stuff they share on WhatsApp about individuals, you ask yourself and you expect the persons to be better. You hear comments like, well, she must see from so-and-so. So there's the assumption that this Bahamas, like for example, I would love to see the Bahamas get to a point where, regardless of what government's in power, the best man gets, the contractor gets the job. Mm-hmm. We need to stop saying, oh, I'm a PLP, I should get this. Oh, I'm an FNM, I should get this. I think we need to be Bahamians first. And then you're an FNM, a PLP, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I would love to see a Bahamas where we would stop waiting for government to come clean your yard. Right? You feel comfortable just throwing trash everywhere, having your yard filthy, but then you blame the government for it. I would love to see a country where we stop throwing stuff out the window and thinking it's just going to miraculously disappear. I would love to see a country where Bahamians would appreciate the beauty of the beach and stop dumping so much. You know, I would love to see a country where we could live together as one, not white Bahamians or not black Bahamians or Haitian or Jamaican Bahamians, right? People say, yeah, I might be in utopia, but guess what is possible? Who is more proud of their countries than Jamaicans or Americans or Cubans? Right? I met a Jamaican in Zurich, Switzerland. And he was like, yeah, man, what you say? I said, how long you been here? But I've been living here for 25 years, man. Oh, and he's Jamaican. Yes. Right? The minute of Bahamian Clear Customs Day American. Right? Hey, man, what's going on? Our homeboy, we just upstairs, man. You know, for some reason, we want to be everybody else. But one last thing. You know what really irked me as a Bahamian? I hate that every time I go to a function, the first song has to be reggae. I have nothing against reggae. But we don't own culture. And I think that has to come from within us, right? Like, I love Bahamian food. Mind you, I need to lose some pounds, but my goodness. You know, when you have a wife that could cook and a mother and a sister that could cook, it's kind of hard. So then would you start eating smaller portions? You know, and I think if we get more pride, and I think if the government and big business and medium business would give more Bahamians opportunities, we could create employment and we could create more empowerment.
Your final word, Dwayne Davis. Speak to that young man on East Street, off East Street, Kemp Road, over the hill.
My final word to anyone living over the hill or Kemp Road or Beantown, remember, it doesn't stop where you are. There's always, you do not have to become a part of your environment, right? The thing is that people always say you can take the woman out of the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto out of the person. That's foolishness, right? You determine who you are, right? Because at the end of the day, nobody owes you anything, and you're not entitled. Mm. The most important thing is be proud of yourself and be who you are, and I guarantee you'll be happy with your life.
There you hear it from Dwayne Davis, the man who likes to shout out, live your life. He's taking a journey from East Street to where he is now. But over that course of time, he has been touched by many mentors. He has been touched by many individuals. But that's not the most important part of that. The most important part of his journey is that he has seen it fit to give back and to give of itself. And so we have been totally delighted to have him this evening on the essentials. And like I said, do you really know him? Final words, Rodney Bain.
Dwayne, I've had a chance, like I say, to meet you prior to, and I always admired you and observed you from afar. And through those masters, I've humbled in the pleasure of knowing you on a personal level. And the things you say here, anybody listening, he is not lying, he is true. I always admired you, even when I didn't know you. I admire you more even on you.
Appreciate that, man. Yes. Thanks a lot, Rodney.
Kenny Mackey.
Thank you. Yes, it was indeed a pleasure to have you here today, to get to know you a lot better. Of course, you're definitely more than me, sir, and just very inspiring to hear your story and very encouraging to see your mindset as to how you're trying to push technology in the Bahamas. So encouraging myself also to think a little bigger.
Thanks, Mark Kenny.
Definitely. We are here. Had this wonderful conversation with Dwayne Davis.
Yeah, man, always remember, live your life. Mackey,
always remember to live your life. But as you live your life, we want to say to you, rise up, you mighty person. Your only weakness is your decision not to be strong. Your greatness only requires a decision. Rise up, you mighty you. I say to you, make the decision to be strong. It's not easy. And there will be moments of great challenge. However, when you make this decision to create a it creates a benchmark for your life, and it creates a true north for navigating your behaviors. Make the decision to be brave, to be bold, to be courageous, to be tenacious, persistent, and to be a warrior for that which you believe in. Conversely, make the decision not to be weak, not to be timid, not to be coward, and not to be compromising. Again, rise up and be your mighty self. It's already in you. You simply have to decide. Rise up. And as we close, here on The Essentials, we propose and we believe that the collective genius of those in the borders of the Bahamas, citizens and residents alike, and those in the Bahamian diaspora, has the potency to propel this country to great levels of achievement. We have heard this afternoon from Dwayne Davis. You have heard his story. You have come to know him a little bit better. We have the skills within this country to move forward. It's time for us to become vested in this reality. It's time for us to embrace the essentials. We always end by quoting as we listen to this song, which is coming up, "Something Inside So Strong." It's absolutely, absolutely true that there's something inside all of us that is so strong. No matter how much we are beaten, no matter how far it's taken, we have the ability to achieve. We always like to end by quoting and saying, whatever you decide to do, do it early, do it smart, do it with urgency. Procrastinators never win. To win, you must embrace the urgency of now. You've been listening to The Essentials. Good night.
No matter, 'cause there's something inside so strong. I know that I can make it, though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone, oh no. Something inside so strong, oh, something inside so strong.